What are you majoring in?
I'm majoring in political science.
And so what is your work permit status?
So I currently have DACA, which is Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals. And with that, I'm able to obtain a work permit and I'm able to obtain a driver's license to be able to drive legally in the United States.
And when does it expire?
Mine expires in the fall of 2019. So I renewed it recently and I was able to get it until 2019.
So with everything that's going on, I mean, what do you think about everything that's happening?
Right. I mean, I think it's a, you know, very unfortunate situation for a lot of us who are currently covered under DACA. I think there's definitely this certain sense of uncertainty of not knowing what's going to happen in the future, whether, you know, we're going to continue to be able to stay here, whether there's going to be an actual deadline for us to exit. So I think it's definitely frustrating. It's stressful, especially trying to do school and then trying to juggle what's going on in D.C. But I think at the end of the day, like, something positive is going to happen. You know, we definitely want to remain optimistic about, you know, it being an unfortunate situation. But hopefully out of all of this, something can happen that is permanent, something that we've been waiting on for a very, very long time. So although it is an unfortunate situation, we want to kind of try to see the positive side and hope that there is a positive outcome at the end of the day.
So what age did you come here and where did you come from?
So I came to the United States at the age of 2 and I came from Mexico. My family came to the United States and we settled in the state of Georgia, which is where I lived for about 20 years prior to coming to Delaware.
Why did your parents decide to come here?
So initially, my parents decided to come here, obviously, because they wanted to give my brother and I a better life. My brother is older than me, so they definitely wanted to bring us here in order to be able to get a better education. My parents back home, they were not making as much money as they needed to in order to support my brother and I. So definitely, I think they just wanted to give us a better future and wanted us to thrive. They wanted us to be able to go to college. They wanted us to be able to have a successful life. So I think that was the biggest reason, was definitely us, their children.
And you said your brother is a U.S. citizen.
My younger brother is a U.S. citizen because he was born here. And then I have an older brother who also was born in Mexico. He's currently a U.S. resident after being married.
Do you know people who have been deported?
Yes, I do. I know plenty of people, countless people. I had an aunt and an uncle who were deported for driving without a license in the state of Georgia. So just, you know, once again, the level of hostility towards immigrants in the South and the way that anti-immigrant laws are written in the South are completely different. Because I know that here in Delaware, like, even if you're undocumented, you get some type of, like, driver's permit. In the state of Georgia, unfortunately, we don't have that. So something as simple as driving without a license could cause someone to be deported. I know another member that, you know, a student who went to school with me in high school, and he was actually the victim of a drunk driver. So he was hit by a drunk driver. And when the police showed up, they arrested him for driving without a license, and he ended up being deported. He graduated top of his class, and he was deported before the DACA announcement was released. So he was not able to qualify for it. So he's currently living back in Mexico. So we definitely know a lot of people who have been deported even before the DACA program. And, you know, through the years of 2008 to 2016, through the Obama administration, there was a lot of enforcement. And a lot of people, I guess, don't know or maybe don't acknowledge that President Obama did deport more people than any other president in history. And he has his record. And that's why they call him the deporter in chief. So definitely, like, we lived through that era and we know what enforcement feels like. We know what deportation feels like. And we've lived it firsthand.
So I want to go up to the shutdown. How do you think the Democrats handled that?
In terms of the shutdown, I mean, I think that having the government shut down is not productive for anyone because there's not really much going on, right? There's not like this sitting down and this negotiating, especially because I think it pushes a lot of the Republicans to want to work with the Democrats in order to find a solution. And at the end of the day, like, we need a solution and we need both parties to sit down and be willing to negotiate. I think that, you know, it happened kind of as a sign to the Republicans that there needs to be a solution and the Democrats are able to withhold their vote once again on February 8th. So we're hoping that come February 8th, you know, both parties are able to come together. There's able to be some type of legislation that's actually voted on so it doesn't cause this again. Because we feel like if there is another shutdown, the only thing that it does, it delays the process and it pushes us forward to the March 5th deadline, which is something that we definitely don't want to hit.
Some people felt like Democrats caved. Is that how you felt or what did you feel?
I feel that, you know, we definitely need the government open in order to be able to have a solution. So shutting down the government, although it is a strong message to the Republicans that there needs to be a solution, like at the end of the day, we need productivity. We need people in office. We need the government working every single day so people can actually sit down and have these meetings and figure out what the proposal is going to look like, negotiate and figure out what kind of things are going to be in the new proposal. So for us, like, we just need the government open so people are working and we can get one step closer to the actual solution, as opposed to shutting it down, delaying negotiations, delaying this proposal, and then pushing us forward to the March 5th deadline.
So you guys have been lobbying instead of protesting. Mm-hmm. And so can you talk about why you made that decision?
Yeah, for sure. So we've definitely, like, I myself have been involved in immigrants' rights for 5-6 years, and we've done a lot of the protesting. Like, I've been arrested in civil disobedience, so we know, like, what protesting is like. And it's not something that we're afraid of. This time around, we realized that, you know, because of the administration that we had, we needed to go inside and have these conversations, have the difficult conversations, and sit down with Republican members and ask them, like, what's it going to take for you to support a bill? Right now, we know that the Republicans control all three chambers. They control the Senate, they control the House, and then we have Donald Trump as the president, a man who, you know, built his campaign and won with this promise of building a wall. So we definitely agreed that we needed to go and have these difficult conversations with a lot of the Republicans as well as the Democrats and try to find where the middle ground is, because we're definitely going to need it. We're going to need to have a compromise. We're going to need to have strategic negotiations, and we're going to need to pass something soon. So that's why this time around we opted to go into lobby and to visit the members of Congress. And so far we've done, I think it's like 5 or 6 trips to D.C. already since DACA was rescinded. And we've been able to visit over 200 offices. So we've been able to meet with actual senators, with actual representatives on both sides of the aisle, and really share our stories and talk about why this is so important and why they should not walk away from the negotiating table and how it's so crucial to find a solution soon. And, you know, the deadline of March 5th is coming up. So we've definitely, you know, opted for that route this time around.
And so what are the Republicans that you've met with, you know, what do they say?
So I think a lot of the Republicans that we've met with, it's actually their first time meeting someone who's undocumented. So I think for them, it's a very eye-opening experience when they sit down with us and they realize that we're, you know, no different from their grandchildren, or we're no different from their children, or we've gone to schools at places where, you know, they have family members. So I think it's definitely a very big eye-opening experience for them. And the feedback that we've gotten from the Republicans is that they also want to solve the issue. They just have a different way of seeing things. And they definitely want to make sure that the border is secure. They definitely want to make sure that there's more technology allocated to the border, so on and so forth. So, again, we're having these conversations with people who may disagree with us, and we're trying to find common ground with them because we know that it's necessary. And I think that, for the most part, yeah, the Republicans have understand that there needs to be a solution, and they're trying to figure out what the proposals are going to look like. But I think they definitely see things from a different point of view. So meeting with us and listening to our stories of how enforcement affects us, or why we think certain things should be taken out, or why we think certain things should be added, I think it definitely gives them a more real-life perspective, and it kind of puts a human face to the issue. So as opposed to them just voting on a bill or just seeing numbers floating around, like, it's, you know, they remember it's a real-life human person behind all these bills that they're voting on.
So how do you approach the March 5th deadline? I mean, do you wake up and think, you know, today is January 26th? Mm-hmm. What goes through your head? You know, what do you feel?
I think definitely, like, it's scary every day, and it's really stressful, honestly, waking up every morning and having to deal with class, having to deal with this and that. And then on top of that, like, dealing with the fact that you might not be here pretty soon. So I think it's definitely stressful. It's a stressful time for many of us just to wake up every day and not know that. But I think at the end of the day, there's also this sense of hope at the end of the day, because we know that come the March 5th deadline, there's going to be a decision. We're either going to be able to adjust our status permanently, which is something that we've been waiting on for over 16 years, or we're going to be potentially, you know, in danger of deportation. So there's no middle ground on this. It's either going to be a really good result, or it's either going to be a really bad one. Like, there's no middle ground on it. And I think, you know, we try to remain optimistic, and this kind of hope that it will be something that is positive is kind of what also keeps us going. So as opposed to focusing on the negative and focusing on, you know, we might be deported by March 5th, we kind of try to focus on, like, hey, we might have a pathway to citizenship come March 5th. And I think that's kind of what keeps a lot of us going and a lot of us feeling a little bit more optimistic about continuing going to D.C. and, you know, talking to congressmen and lobbying them.